Recall to mind, therefore have a hope. It is because of your compassions that we fail not. It is because of your mercies we are not consumed. Our grace contract is renewed by you each morning, and great is thy faithfulness. Father, we are motivated and encouraged by your integrity, that each day of our lives we have each of our needs, that for both life and godliness. And we now pause to commemorate that grace through giving, and we do so in the name of our great High Priest and only Savior, namely Jesus Christ, Lord of the armies. Amen. Eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, neither has there entered into the minds of men the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. For He who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? He has done exceedingly abundantly beyond all we could ever ask or think, for we have the mind of Christ. And you can open the mind of Christ this morning to 2 Corinthians 3, where we will note in the continuation of our study of the stream of consciousness, the memory center of the soul. It's our custom to pause a few moments for silent prayer. This will afford you the opportunity to utilize the privacy of your royal priesthood, whereby you might confess any unconfessed sins to God and all of those post-salvation sins to the moment will be forgiven. Based on the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, sin is not the issue in the Christian life. The issue is the Word of God. Sin is not the issue in rebound recovery. It is the fact you're involved in wrongdoing. Sin has been handled by Christ. Your wrongdoing must be handled by the grace of God, which appropriates the work of Christ to your rebellion. And therefore, any violation of the divine standard is, in essence, an imitation of the satanic rebellion of eternity past, just on a smaller scale, but nonetheless as effective. And therefore, we must learn to orient and adjust to the righteous standard. And in doing so, we place ourselves at the point of contact with God's integrity, and that is His justice. And He is faithful, and He is righteous to forgive us of our sins and to purify us from all wrongdoing. The option is available. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you for the power of the Word. We thank you for a system that enables us to acquire it within the stream of consciousness in our souls. And with the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, we're not only able to understand your Word, but also muster the confidence and courage to make application in our daily lives. We continue your pursuit. We continue the pursuit of truth, so that we might better serve you before you call us home. And we lift our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We have been studying the stream of consciousness, and that takes us back to our study of Lucifer, obviously. We're taking a good bit of time in verse 17 to analyze the soul of Lucifer. The souls of angels are similar in every way to ours, except more magnified, more sophisticated, with one exception, that being volition. We're noting Ezekiel 28:17, your stream of consciousness, that being Satan's, circulated attitudes of arrogance, resulting in a haughty self-exaltation and inordinate ambition because of your physical beauty. And that brings out the fact that he was taken with his own beauty, and it is something to behold, as we've established. Nevertheless, rather than being grateful for that and developing gratitude toward the Creator, he developed narcissism and became extremely self-centered. That self-centeredness also contributed to an utterly corrupted wisdom by reason of radiant splendor emanating from an iridescent body. There is probably no greater form of arrogance than narcissism, and it leads to other concepts that take one down a slippery slope. megalomania seems to be the thing that struck Lucifer. He wanted to run the entire show, and therefore he rebelled against his own creator. That led us into a study of the heart, which we've completed and have noted it as a part of soul mentality. The heart is cardia in the Greek New Testament and lave in the Hebrew Old Testament. And therefore, heart is the concept that we've examined and completed. And as a part of soul mentality, we've realized that the heart has seven different compartments, and we are about to note those. In our study of the stream of consciousness, we indulged in an introduction. The introduction compared human IQ with spiritual IQ. No one can understand the Word of God except academically unless they are a believer in Jesus Christ, regardless of the dispensation. In our dispensation, we are granted spiritual IQ through the indwelling and filling ministries of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, He teaches our human spirit the Word of God and brings to our conscious mind the information that is found in the eternal Logos. And with His enabling power, we can understand divine thought, and that is spiritual IQ. We noted that He is our helper, according, I believe, to the King James Version. The word there is parakletos, and parakletos actually means someone who goes alongside to help, to assist. And that word is found in John 14, 26, where it tells us that He will teach us all things and bring to our remembrance everything which Christ has said unto us. This boils down to the fact that He is our mentor, and as His student, we learn under His teaching ministries. And as He teaches, and as we respond positively to what is communicated, then there is metabolism of divine thought. And we noted the concept of metabolism from the aspect of nutrition. As you eat food, the body absorbs all of the nutrients and sends it out to every area of the body. There are two classifications of metabolism. There is anabolism, the building up of the body through repair, and catabolism, the tearing down and getting rid of waste products. And therefore, the body is maintained as you absorb food into the metabolism. This concept is carried over into the spiritual life, as we've noted how you are able to absorb the bread of life. The bread of life is Bible doctrine. It is divine thought. It nurtures your soul. And as you absorb the information into your soul, there is metabolism of divine thought, and that metabolism nurtures your spiritual life. There is anabolism involved, a building up. Also, there is catabolism, a tearing down. Human viewpoint, concepts of human good and evil are removed as the Word of God is installed. And so there is anabolism and catabolism and spiritual metabolism. And the mandate to do this is found in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, where we noted that we're not to be conformed to this world, but we are to have a renovation of thought. And that is to take place in the cardia of the soul. And therefore, we noted that when you do this, you develop a defense mechanism in your soul to manage the affairs of your life. And thus, we noted that metabolism has two major results. First of all, the 10 problem-solving devices, which we noted by definition. And secondly, the Word of God forms a mirror in your soul so that you can counsel yourself. And as your own counselor, you can identify the problems in your life and take corrective procedures, beginning with rebound and then with adjusting the way you behave by calling upon your inventory of doctrinal ideas. After having completed this introduction on Thursday evening, we took up paragraph B, the stream of consciousness, and subpoint 1 is the first compartment, which is the frame of reference. We noted this definition. The frame of reference is the soul's index to stored data that can be accessed by the stimulation of certain vectors. Now, these are terms that we developed under the theology of neurology, and I went back and dug up a diagram that we used to note vectors and other aspects of remembering information. And I thought I would remind you of that because as we move to the second compartment today, which is the memory center and a later vocabulary, we'll be noting these things. But a vector is a few bits of data that make up a memory trace. So here is the word rapture. And that word can actually serve as a vector. It can stimulate your thinking, and the Holy Spirit can go down into your memory center and your vocabulary, your categorical storage, all saved permanently by Him in your soul and in your brain, and call to your conscious mind certain aspects of that doctrine. And the vector is one word, rapture. And that brings to your mind all that you know about that. Well, what is it that you know? Well, you know from 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 7 and 8, that there will be a rapture, and when that rapture occurs, you're going to be involved in it with a resurrection body. And I won't go through all of this. I only want to remind you of it. You can go all the way across this chart and gather information regarding the resurrection body, the fact that you're going to meet Christ in the air. The end result is going to be the judgment seat of Christ. The rapture terminates the church age and initiates the tribulation. And the tribulation is when there is going to be unleashed upon the world the entire and total satanic agenda for this planet, and he will be unrestrained. All of these things are contained, if you've been with me for any reasonable length of time, retained in your soul. And you're able to recall these things, and all you need is a vector to bring it up. The vector that we've noted here as an example is simply the word rapture. Now, a storage system is what is necessary, and the frame of reference begins the sorting out of that information. A storage system serving to orient or give particular meaning to incoming data. And therefore, we noted 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 and 10, as it stands written in Isaiah 64, verse 4, things. And the things here in context has to do with the Word of God, Bible doctrine. Knowledge about Him, Christ, the Holy Spirit, mystery doctrines of the church age, what have you. So we'll take the word things and call it truth or doctrine. Doctrine which the eye has not seen and the ear has not heard. Seeing and hearing are concepts associated with empiricism, the discovery of knowledge through experiment, through proof in a laboratory, do it over and over and over and have it always have the same end and result. That is the mental attitude of the scientist. And the scientist, although he may prove things within the physical realm, is unable to understand the intricate thinking of the God of the universe without spiritual IQ. So the eye has not seen nor has the ear heard these doctrines from God. And these doctrines have not entered into the heart of men. This has to do with the other learning concept, which has to do with rationalism. This is the approach to truth by the philosopher. If it doesn't make sense to them, if they can't concentrate on all the facts available and arrive at what they decree to be a logical conclusion, then it is not true. Faith is never an issue with the scientist or the philosopher. It is only revealed truth in one of these two categories. Therefore, there are doctrines from God which can be understood, and they are prepared only for those who love Him. If you do not love God, you will not understand these things. And the love of God becomes very important because it is the motivation for the Christian way of life. And if you do not have proper motivation, then what you learn is not going to have any impact on your life. This is a double-columned advance toward spiritual maturity. Epinosis knowledge is acquired through Bible study, and you are able to acquire the Word of God in your stream of consciousness. But what motivates not only its inculcation, but its application to your life? It is to develop a love for God. These things, these doctrines, are made available for those who love God. And love is accomplished and actually acquired through a study of the Word, whereby you learn who and what God is. And when you realize all that He has done for us, then that develops a love back for God. And that is reciprocity. And that is this second column over here. And they must advance simultaneously, and we will gradually begin to note concepts from this idea. But the mentorship of the Holy Spirit ushers us through. He is the commanding officer for this advance. And the doctrine is what enables us to love God. Now, the frame of reference thus serves as a processing center that distributes doctrinal information to its proper area and correlates it with doctrines already learned and stored. And that brings us now to the second compartment, which is the memory center. This is the area for recall. Remember, John 14:26 told us that the Holy Spirit, once He came into the church age, that's Acts chapter 2, the prophecy, John 14:26, that He would teach us all things and bring to our remembrance those things which Christ had already taught. And the concept goes over into the church age where we are able to remember all doctrine, the mind of Christ that has been developed by the New Testament epistles as well as the Revelation. So memory center is the area for recall and is therefore the link between the soul and the cerebral cortex. There has to be a link somewhere between the soul and the cerebral cortex. And the memory center is what does it. And so we can put this old favorite on the board and see that this is the soul up here. See, here is the pastor teaching to, and the Holy Spirit picks up the information. Well, whatever the pastor teaches goes into the ear gate and sometimes the eye gate, for example, right now. And that involves the body. So the body first has to process the information. And then the Holy Spirit picks it up and teaches it to the human spirit. Now you're trichotomous. You have a body, you have a human spirit, and then when doctrine is taught to the human spirit and brought to academic understanding, it is transferred to the soul. And in the soul is where volition must decide whether you accept or reject the information. If you do, it's the Holy Spirit that moves it to the cardia and makes it permanent knowledge or cognizance of divine thought, called epinosis. And then He moves it down to the brain for storage. This is the hard disk down here. And the cerebral cortex is where long-term memory takes place, wheel tracks of righteousness regarding Bible doctrine. And therefore, the memory center is the link between the soul, the cardia, and the cerebral cortex. And that is how recall is accomplished. This is how you apply Bible doctrine to your life. Secondly, doctrine that comes into the soul first hits the frame of reference, which we've just reviewed. The Holy Spirit stores it on the hard disk of the brain for future reference. So frame of reference is what actually cycles all of doctrine out into the other various compartments. And it runs it through memory center and then down to the cerebral cortex. However, point three, a problem emerges. If doctrine is not reviewed and studied, then there is a rate of forgetting that occurs. For spiritual growth to continue, then doctrine must become facilitated in the soul. It's interesting to note how people learn. Children are taken to school when they are 5 or 6 years old. They don't take us to school when we're like 55 or 6 years old. The ability to learn sort of diminishes as you get older. The ability to absorb data is most efficient when you're young. So we educate people when they are small children and give them all of the information they need to function properly as an adult. And so during this entire process, there is a growth in storage in the memory center. And you go to math class, for example, 2 plus 2 equals 4. And you get that nailed down. And maybe at first you say on the test, 2 plus 2 equals 5. And the teacher will put a big red check mark by that and say, you need to study your twofers and all that kind of business. Well, you've got a little memory trace here, but it's not facilitated. And you have to go back and rehearse that and practice it and review 2 plus 2 equals 4. And these things enlarge here in the brain. And we have noted this in the past, but here is a memory trace. I really should put the synaptic cleft in there. Oh, I really botched that. Here it comes down here. the synaptic cleft. Look, you know, you love my drawing, don't you? And you go to the next neuron. And these channels here, information is shot across this cleft here, and this electrochemical firing, and it goes across. And then it fires this neuron and so on down the line, and you run out a memory trace of about a million of these in a fraction of a second. And so when these things occur, that's your first knowledge of this. And this is as big as that memory trace happens to be, but you can widen these things out and get them much, much bigger. And this is called facilitation. That's where you enlarge the memory trace. And when you keep rehearsing and reviewing and going over and over and over a concept, then the literal memory trace in the brain gets larger so that it is facilitated. And that's the word the neurologist used for a path of least resistance. That's what you go to in a moment of challenge, test, quiz, what have you. I know that. What's the capital of Nebraska? You know that because you rehearsed, you reviewed, you went over it all. Therefore, you've got it nailed. Why? Memory traces are facilitated. Now, that's what must go on in your soul as well. It's there first before it goes to the brain. And there is a rate of forgetting. But the neurologists tell us, and they've run the experiments, that you never forget anything that you at one time had in long-term memory. But the wheel track, the memory trace, diminishes. Where at one time it was facilitated, now it begins to diminish through lack of use. And we even see Paul speaking in the scripture comparing Bible study to physical exercise. You build up the body, the muscles, and the cardiovascular system and so on. This is increased in its efficiency and size regarding the muscles and so on through physical exercise. And he compares that to the gymnasia, the gymnasium, the painful experiences involved in physical exercise. He moves that over to the spiritual realm and says you must exercise in the spiritual life as well. And what he's talking about is facilitating these concepts. And if you don't, then they begin to diminish and shrink up. They're there, but they're hard to find, and you certainly can't get recall under pressure, because they're not paths of least resistance. And so the rate of forgetting is the big problem. And so if doctrine is not reviewed and studied, then there is a rate of forgetting that occurs. For spiritual growth to continue, then doctrine must become facilitated in the soul. And by the way, one of the ways that facilitation is accelerated is pressure. Crescit sub pondere virtus, virtue increases under oppression. And therefore, when you're tested, when you're given these challenges in life, then you're forced to go to the doctrine you know and depend upon it to resolve your day. And when you see it work, you're motivated by the fact doctrine works. You see the grace of God in your life, and then you're more motivated to pursue truth. It enlarges your love for God and appreciation for Him. So four, facilitation is the enlargement of a memory trace into a path of least resistance. It becomes who you are. Who you are is what you think, and that is put under pressure in order to determine if you will stay with who you are in the bad times as well as the periods of tranquility. If under pressure you go to doctrine rather than human viewpoint, then you've changed the way you think, your behavior patterns have been altered by the Word of God, and you're a better person than you were before. Facilitation is the way that happens. That means it is the biggest memory trace there, and therefore under pressure, that's where you go. Facilitation then is the enlargement of a memory trace into a path of least resistance by means of practice, repetition, or rehearsal. In the field of learning, memory traces are facilitated by means of conditioning, instruction, indoctrination, inculcation, review, study, and application. Application enlarges memory traces. You see that when you apply doctrine to circumstances in life and see it work, you're more motivated to use it again later on. So there are many ways to enlarge memory traces and to facilitate wheel tracks of righteousness. The other day I saw a movie of a young girl who is, I think, a freak. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but I mean we have to face the fact she's a freak of nature. Her name is Charlotte Church, and she was 13 at least at the time the movie was shot, and she sings like an absolute angel. In fact, I think that's what they call the movie. She's singing like an angel, something like that. And so they had this little girl come out in front of the London Symphony Orchestra and absolutely blow people away. And she had the ability to sing these songs in Welsh dialect. Of course, she is Welsh. That helps. By the way, the Welsh have quite a gene pool when it comes to larynxes. The Welsh proper, you had a proper gene pool mix over there. You got some people who can belt it out. And so she's Welsh. And so she had learned from a small child to sing in the Welsh dialect. She, of course, is a Brit and has that accent to her voice. And she is able to sing in Italian. That's the way they write a lot of this music. I don't quite understand that, but the Italians get involved in it. And as a 13-year-old, she stands there, sings in Italian. I don't know if the French get in. She didn't seem to be affected by the French. But she stood there on that stage very poised, and she belted all of this out in a very magnificent way. Well, she's 13, and she had the talent. That was genetic. But the ability to stand there with great poise and grace on the stage and remember all of the lyrics in 3 to 4 different languages over a period of about 1.5 hours, and to hit all the notes, to remember all of the notes, all of the words, all of the languages, as well as stand there in front of a packed house at the London whatever. And it was very impressive. But what had she done? She had facilitated all of this so that she could stand out there under great pressure and do it perfectly. Now, let's take that into the spiritual realm. Have you learned all the points of the various doctrines? That's the lyric. Have you learned the music? The music is the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. Without Him there, you don't play. And therefore, you resort to human viewpoint. And under pressure, you have to be able to perform. And you have to do it flawlessly if you're going to be successful in the Christian way of life. And it requires motivation. It requires repetition. It requires courage under pressure. And there must be confidence in order for all those aspects to be there. Therefore, as you come to Bible class and you're bored sick, as I go over things you already know, then you must understand you're in the gymnasium. When you go to the gymnasium and you do 10 presses and then come back the next day and your trainer says, "We want you to do 10 more," do you tell him, "Why did that yesterday? I've already done 10 of those. Let's do something else." And he's going to run you right out the door. You don't have the mental attitude for this. And so, impressively, we meet in a gymnasium. And this is where we do the spiritual mental presses. And we do them over and over and over and over. And eventually you get it. Now, what you have here, the Christian way of life, therefore, can be described in this fashion. Hours upon hours upon hours of boredom, punctuated by moments of terror. And the moments of terror where you go out beyond the swinging doors and you're confronted with an issue. And in a moment of terror, you have one of two ways to go. I will use the Word of God through tranquility of thought, or I will go to the old sin nature down that old rugged trail of wheel tracks of wickedness and resort to human viewpoint, human good and evil. That is the choice we have. And in those moments of terror, you better know which way to go. And so point 5, recall of doctrine is necessary for the creation of the mirror in the soul. If you're going to be a self-counselor, then you have to have information by which to analyze your own thoughts, decisions, and actions, your own behavior pattern. And certain behavior patterns are hard to break because they're so facilitated. And so you just stay with it. And that's why there's rebound. That's why there's confession alone to God alone. You're involved in a behavior pattern that began before you were saved, and it's so facilitated it's a 5-lane freeway. You remember that. And it's so wide, and it's such a path of least resistance, that in order to get it under control, it may take years, but you stay with it, and you use 1 John 1:9. Now, why do I say this? Because there are some religions that will tell you
that because of what you do, you lose your salvation. You keep doing A, and because you keep doing A, that means you never were saved in the first place. It was a head belief and not a heart belief. And they give you the hand jive. Head, heart. Head, heart. And you want to say, well, you know, the spiritual life has nothing to do with the head. It has nothing to do with the heart. The spiritual life has to do with the human spirit and the soul. And we are trichotomous. And the spiritual life is involved in what you think. And that gets involved in a very ethereal concept called the soul, which we're now noting. And we know from the Word of God and have great confidence in what it communicates, that when we place our faith alone in Christ alone, not only do we have eternal life, not only do we have eternal security, but we rest assured with great confidence that all of our pre-salvation forgiven, and they're removed from God as far as east is from west, and He forgets about them, and if He forgets about them, we should too. And then after salvation, where do we stand? We have the very same inventory of ideas we had 3 seconds before. We still think the way we thought when we were an unbeliever 15 seconds ago. There's been no renovation of thought. There is no new renovated memory center. There's nothing to recall. Therefore, you have to go to Bible class and start this process. And you renovate your soul. Romans 12:2. You change the way you think. And when you do that, you change the way you behave. And it may take a while with those 5-lane freeways, but you'll eventually get them down to a footpath. And when you do, you will have had victory over that. And grace permits you to get there. And when you see people in this congregation or out beyond the swinging doors in your periphery and they continue to do or say things that you identify through proper discernment as being sinful or wrongdoing, you leave them alone. If they're positive to the Word of God, they're trying their best to get to Santa Fe and they don't need any distractions. They've got enough on their mind getting past their behavior patterns. There is only one way to rehabilitate a criminal, one way and one way only, and that is, A, are they saved? And if yes, then teach them the Word of God, starting with laws of divine establishment and orient those to the essence of God. And then through the Holy Spirit, they may change their behavior patterns, but if you've been robbing banks all your life, you're going to have a hard time not stealing for a while. And that's a very obvious example, but the others could be different. The others could be very subtle and very private. And you will get there, and you stay with 1 John 1:9. Don't let people tell you that that is a cop-out. It is not. It is the on-off switch of the Christian way of life. Confessing your sins to God in the privacy of your own priesthood forgives you of post-salvation sins, and you can pick up the pieces and move on one more day. And eventually you will develop spiritual skills. And recall of doctrine will develop from the mirror of the soul will assist you in doing that. Recall of doctrine is necessary for the creation of the mirror in the soul. The mirror is the believer's entire inventory of biblical truth. What's in the mirror? When you look into the mirror of the Word of God, what's reflected back as you analyze yourself? There may not be anything there. I know I'm saved. I have eternal security, but that's about all I know. Well, that's what's in the mirror. But the more you learn the Word of God, the mirror is able to reflect back more and more data for self-analysis. So the believer can look into the mirror of the Word and get an accurate reading of his soul's status quo. Let's note 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. But we all, with an unveiled face. What is the unveiled face? The face is unveiled when you're under the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit, and thus minus the three arrogant skills and the removal of strong delusion from cosmos diabolicus. That's the unveiled face. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then you are working on all 8 cylinders when it comes to cognizance and clarity of thought. And therefore, the filling of the Holy Spirit is very important in five ways. First of all, the filling of the Holy Spirit breaks the power of the sinful nature to whom you submitted in a menage a trois. It breaks that power. Secondly, it establishes a defensive perimeter around the soul. The Holy Spirit fills your soul and now controls your life, at least for the moment. Thirdly, there is restoration of fellowship with God, which had been previously broken through sin. Restoration of fellowship with God. Four, resumption of the spiritual advance through the enabling power of the Spirit. And five, the empowerment of the 10 problem-solving devices. Now, those five things occur when you confess your sins to God. Now, please note that those five things are not functional if you have unconfessed sin in your life. The power of the sinful nature is not broken. It's been re-energized by your negative volition to the Word of God, and therefore, through sin, the first husband controls your life again. So let me tell you where you are when you don't confess your sins. The first husband controls your soul. Secondly, there is no defensive perimeter around your soul, and therefore you are vulnerable to the doctrines of demons. Three, you have lost your fellowship with God. It has been broken. Number four, you cannot in any way continue and advance in your spiritual life and your spiritual growth. You are functioning only on human IQ, and therefore even coming to Bible class is an act of frustration, and it also very inefficient. Nothing happens here except confusion. And finally, the 10 problem-solving devices are off. They are non-functional. And that's where the believer is when he's out of fellowship. And the only way to get these things up and running is to stay with confession of sin. When you go to your car, do you not crank it? You expect it to run because you cranked it yesterday. I cranked it yesterday. And you want to get in that car and drive off. And if it doesn't drive off, you put it in neutral and get out and you push it. You push it. You try and get that car rolling. You jump in and slam the door and hope to go somewhere. And as long as you're headed downhill, you can travel a pretty good while. Downhill. If you don't turn on the switch to the spiritual life, you go nowhere. But we all with an unveiled face, looking into a mirror. This is doctrine contained in your memory center throughout the stream of consciousness, but with emphasis on the memory center, looking into a mirror to produce a reflection. And what is the desired reflection? When you look into the mirror of your own soul, what is the desired reflection? It says here, namely, the glory of our Lord. And the glory of our Lord speaks of the indwelling Shekinah glory reflected in your soul. But we all with an unveiled face, looking into a mirror to produce a reflection, namely the glory of our Lord, are being transfigured. That's transformations, metamorpho. This is the renovation of thought that has occurred now in the soul. We're being transfigured in that very same image from the source of glory. And the source of glory is Jesus Christ as the Shekinah glory, to the attainment of the glory, which is Santa Fe, spiritual maturity, experiential sanctification. And what is the source of this transformation of thought? It says here, the Holy Spirit is the source of this transformation, His mentorship. Point six, recall then is necessary for the deployment of the problem-solving devices which we've noted. If you missed that, you can go back to Tuesday and Thursday's tape of this past week. Recall is necessary for the deployment of the problem-solving devices. If you can't recall the solution, then your problems will breach your soul. No solution, then problems breach the soul. And that's outside adversity, including prosperity. And therefore, the flat line is up, but because you're out of fellowship or because you have in many ways permitted your inventory to diminish, then there is going to be a breach in the soul. And you can pretend this direction here is north, and the north wall's got a breach. And you remember what happened in San Antonio in 1836 when Santana and his soldiers created a breach in that north wall at about 9 o'clock on the morning of March the 6th. When that breach occurred, the Mexicans came through it, and they came through it in abundance. And it was 5,000 Mexicans, although they'd been pared down about 1,600 by this time, to take on the entire Texican force of 182. And then you got about 3,800 approximately Mexicans coming through a breach. And you're going to fight them back with 186 or 182. The number is vague. They didn't do it. The only one left was Susanna Dickinson. And she wasn't a fighter. My point, you don't stand a chance. When the breach is there, you don't stand a chance. The first husband seizes control of the command post of your soul, the heart. Seizes control, and therefore runs your life. Now, you can delude yourself. That's part of being out of fellowship, the three arrogant skills. You can self-justify why you're there. You can become involved in the concepts surrounding self-delusion and delude yourself, self-deception, or self-absorption. You know, this is really the way it ought to be. And that's where Lucifer was. He became so self-absorbed through narcissism. I really am justified in doing this. I am so good looking. I am so pretty. I have so much intelligence and wisdom. I can communicate so mellifluously that there is no reason why I can't run this show. And so, you can't recall the solution, then your problems will breach your soul. And when it does, the old sin nature will seize the command post of your soul, and you are out of action. You're a battlefield casualty. 7, recall is necessary for the function of the mature believer's spiritual reflexes. And now we get back to athletics. Now we get back to the physical as an illustration. Recall is necessary for the function of the mature believer's spiritual reflexes. Just as a well-trained athlete is able to react instantly in competition with physical reflexes, likewise the mature believer in the angelic conflict. Now you can take an athlete and put him on the playing field, and if he starts thinking, he's had it. He's got to go on muscle memory. You don't think through how to do something on the playing field. You better already know. And you better have facilitated wheel tracks in muscle memory. You take hitting a baseball, there's nothing harder to do. The baseball is round and it's rotating and moving in different directions if it's a breaking pitch. And the bat is round and the swing is an arc and the ball is traveling anywhere from 80 to 102 miles an hour. And you've got a fraction of a second to find the ball, decide whether you're going to hit it or not, swing the bat, hit the ball, and do so with authority. Less than a second. Now, if you stand there and try and think through all of that, it's strike three before you can even get the bat off your shoulder. So muscle memory is what's important there, and that's physical reflexes. Now, what do you do in life when situations present themselves? Do you have the spiritual reflexes to resolve the problem without having to think through everything point by point by point and then saying, write it all down and say, Well, it's all over. You're dead by now. Or you're involved in a shouting match, a Donnybrook. You're involved in anger, bitterness, involved in all kinds of shouting matches. This is what goes on when you have to stop and think. And the stopping to think only occurs after the damage has been done. So you need to develop spiritual reflexes. And that illustrates the ability to recall, decide upon, and instantly apply doctrine under pressure. You identify the situation, you recall the doctrine, you decide what to do, and then instantly apply the right solution. And that requires facilitation of thought and memory center. You better know what you're doing. A professional Christian goes out on the battleground beyond the swinging doors, and he goes out into the enemy's playing field. It's always a road trip. You're always on a road trip. You're in the enemy's arena. And when you go there, you had better have your game plan down and know what you're doing and know how to think under pressure and have spiritual reflexes. Otherwise, the enemy will stack up a great number of victories for himself. And when you get to the point to where it's the all-star break and you look at your one loss record and you've won 12 games and lost 68, then you realize at that point, I didn't have a very good first half. It won't be on the all-star team either. Spiritual reflexes illustrate the ability to recall, decide upon, and instantly apply doctrine under pressure. You instantly, as if by reflex, come up with the right principle, the right answer, the right concept, the right problem-solving device to apply to the situation. And that's spiritual reflexes. And the athlete can do it physically. The Christian needs to get to the point where he can do it spiritually. Instantly, as if by reflex, come up with the right principle, the right answer, the right concept, the right problem-solving device, and apply it to the situation. Point 9. Joshua was instructed to acquire spiritual reflexes by means of facilitation of doctrine in his cardia. We studied that in detail. He had to get this law in his stream of consciousness and in his memory center, saved on the hard disk of the soul through meditation. That's Bible study, as you recall. And he had to get it there to where he would have instant application through the faith rest drill, the spiritual life of the dispensation of Israel. He was the leader of Israel, the spiritual leader. He was the governmental leader, and he was the military leader. He had to take these 2 million people across the Jordan River and into Canaan, and he had to fight a number of battles there, starting with Jericho. And he had to know what he was doing. And the Lord sat him down in chapter 1 and gave him the only printed copy outside of the priesthood of a revealed canon at that time. He gave him the Mosaic Law, and he said, "You facilitate this." Joshua 1:8. "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall facilitate its content day and night, so that you may be extraordinarily diligent to do according to all that is written in it. For then your lifestyle will accomplish what I intend, and you will act wisely." And then these things will occur. You sit your spotted bottom down, Joshua, and you facilitate the law. Know it left and right, backwards and forwards. You do this day and night so that you will be extraordinarily diligent to do according to all that is written in it. Extraordinarily diligent. That means spiritual reflexes. Then your lifestyle will accomplish what I intend, and you will act wisely. 10. Other verses that reference the memory center include Psalm 119, verse 16. "I shall delight in your doctrine. I shall not forget your word." Delight in your doctrine. See, that's the right column. That's reciprocal love back to God as growth continues in the left column. "I shall delight in your doctrine. I shall not forget your word." That means metabolism into the stream of consciousness, into memory center for recall. I shall not forget your word. Lamentations 3, verses 20 through 23. "Surely my soul remembers." There's a wheel track of righteousness. The soul remembers. There's been a vector fired, and therefore the vector has called up a doctrine. "Surely my soul remembers and is humbled within me." That is gratitude, an attitude of gratitude to God for the doctrine that he has learned from him. The writer here. Verse 21. "This I recall to mind." Recall of doctrine stored in memory center. "Therefore I have hope." The word hope here is better translated confidence. When you recall a doctrine to mind, it gives you confidence. Confidence produces courage under pressure. This I recall to mind, therefore I have confidence and courage toward life and circumstances, would be a way to interpret that. Verse 22, the Lord's unfailing mercies, that's loving kindness, grace functions of divine love. Love is the integrity of God, and long-suffering indicates that God's mercy is available to us through His integrity. He has absolute perfect standards, and He regulates His integrity through justice. And it is administered by grace. And therefore, grace expresses love to us. When God has patience with us, it is because He understands that we're moving down the trail, that we have distractions, that we have moments of failure, but that our mental attitude of gratitude keeps us moving toward the objective. Therefore, God has unfailing mercies that never cease, it says here, because His compassions, that's divine, impersonal love, never fail. His compassions never fail. Now, God is not emotional. He's not being emotional when He looks down on the believer moving down the trail, having difficulties but staying loyal to the system. What that compassion is a doctrinal conclusion based on divine thought. God looks on His child and has mercy. 23, they are renewed every morning. God gives us a day at a time to advance toward spiritual maturity, and your contract is renewed every morning. You operate on a one-day contract. What if baseball players had to do that? You go 0 for 5, strike out 4 times, and hitting a double play. And it's time to re-up. How much money you want today? I want $1 million. We were thinking about you paying us $5,000. Contract is renewed every morning. Great. Great is your faithfulness, the love of God as divine integrity. Well, that wraps up our brief study of the memory center. And that was the second compartment of the stream of consciousness. Another very important concept in the stream of consciousness and a requirement for spiritual growth, as well as maintenance of spiritual maturity once attained, is category number 3, which is vocabulary storage. And we'll take a look at that at 3:45.